Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to brush up and wash up on all of the stuff from the keynote this week that we kind of trashed a little bit on the night with beer and alcohol. And,
speak for yourself, Rankin.
Well, yeah, okay, fair point. I was a bit trashy. On that point, actually, I would just like to point out, because I've gone to old Gruber's blog here, and I got tons of shit in June over WWDC keynote saying it was crap. And saying that it was way too long and the music was shit, and I got emails telling me that I just didn't like music because it was obviously the young of today, not aimed at me, but you could appreciate the value of it. And I took tons of flack in June over my comments about that. And he's put down on his blog, I just want to say, in terms of stagecraft, the event was really well structured. In stark contrast to June's WWDC keynote, which was by Apple standards a rambling mess. In hindsight, I think this year's keynote was the worst Apple event in years, and perhaps the worst in modern post-next times. It was too long, had no flow between segments. The Apple Music segment was downright awkward and under-rehearsed. So Gruber says it, and he's a frigging god. I say it on the night, and without the benefit of hindsight, and I'm an arsehole. There you go. I just wanted to point
you know
that
why?
Out.
You know why, Jorn? Because the only people more snarky than people from the UK are people from New York.
By way of Philly. Philadelphia.
I said by way of Philly. So like, I didn't get that.
Yeah, you're kind of about, Gruber's this guru. I say it on the night and take shit. He says it 4 months later in hindsight, and oh, he's Gruber.
Yeah, no.
But it might not have been the worst one. I remember the one, I think, right around when Steve was dying. There was one that was very, very awkward.
That was so awkward. That's the worst one.
And we didn't know. I mean, he died, I think, a day later or something. So
yeah, that was the 4S, iPhone 4S.
Yeah, that one was probably worse. But overall, it was a pretty bad one.
And I think this everybody one, was I mean, back this one, people were the, talking smack.
I want to ask one question.
Go on, then.
My feeling is it was... From a pace perspective, it was rather slow because they did quite a few demos with external teams and stuff like that. But overall, they still showed a crap load of stuff.
Are you talking about this one?
Yes, this one.
Well, not WWDC one.
No, this one.
My mouse's not working. No, WWDC, I just wanted to point out that I wanted some kudos, that was all. Now we can talk about this year.
You know, we're supposed to introduce everybody because there's a couple
guys. Doc, why don't you run the frigging show then?
I'm just helping out because the German guy just threw everybody off track.
Yeah, well.
I think I started it.
Well, my history repeats.
I'm going to take credit for starting it.
joining me to discuss and analyze and dissect that keynote, top left, Patrice in his new office. How you doing, bud?
Hi, guys. Pretty good, pretty good.
Excellent, mate. So how much have you got left to unpack?
Still a few things because
pretty much all of it.
The handyman has to come around and finish a few things.
Oh, you have a man that does that?
No, the unpacking, that's my part, but the office part, the office here isn't finished, so I can't really unpack anything until he's done.
All right, okay, fair enough then. Maybe. From the Bloom Closet, an absolute sweltering temperatures in California.
Yeah.
Man, dude, you have a glow on you, which is quite impressive considering you sat in about probably 120 degrees.
It's only 88 right now.
Only.
Early in the morning, though.
Jesus.
It get a lot warmer. Yeah, and I have the air on. I'm sort of blocking it from the mic, so I think we'll be okay.
No, that's fine. You get, we can take a bit of mic noise, mate, to save you from dehydration.
I don't think you can hear it.
Yeah,
that's what I've been told.
I've never lost a podcaster to heat stroke yet, so let's not start today. Next to him, 4 a.m. in the morning, kind of cool still there, I hope, and always cool, Doc Rock.
Actually, no, it's hot as the blazes. Why is setting records daily? We never hit hundreds. We're smoking. Feels like hundreds because we've had 9 tropical storms or hurricanes in a row, and the last one, Ximena, is like kicking around and making humidity suck balls.
I can say, is it all humidity?
Mm. Oh, it's just disgusting. No, but anyway, I'm doing good because I have air conditioning.
Excellent, mate. A welcome return after a long time. David Kalo, how you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me back on the show.
No, I'm surprised it's taken us this long to get you back on. I'm sorry, pal.
That's no problem.
How's things going with Apple World today?
Things are going good. We had a fun day. Chatting about all the events. I'm sure we're going to chat about them a little bit more today. Yeah. We didn't live blog, which was surprisingly a lot less stressful when you aren't trying to write everything down literally as it's happening. So we had a good time enjoying the show. It was good.
Excellent. Good man. You're actually there in the auditorium.
Oh, no. I was in the branch auditorium, which is my house. You're looking at it right now.
Ah, I got you.
The satellite auditorium.
And last but by no means least, Mike T. Rose in the Orange Studio.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Does that
Thanks
key
for
out?
Having me back. Sorry?
Does that key out? Does the Orange key out ever?
I haven't tried it yet.
You've got to give that a go, dude.
Gonna get iCam eyeglasses and key that right out, put fish behind me or an iPad Pro circling.
Well, based on the color cast that's across your face, the fish will be swimming through your ears, mate, because you're kind of blending in a little.
A little bit. Well, thanks for having me back. I apologize for my color cast, but no. Hey, that's racist, by the way. I object.
Okay.
That's offensive to Oompa Loompas.
Oompa Loompas, yeah.
That's right.
You should know by now, mate. This show doesn't give a stuff about anyone's opinion. Right, Apple Keynote. 1,000 employees in the auditorium out of 1,500. I was sitting thinking at that, and I was thinking, I bet you there'd been less paid people to be there at a Saddam Hussein fan club rally, because that's going to bring you an awful lot of whoops and cheers, isn't it? Even if what you say is shit.
Yes.
I think Apple have got to be careful about that. No?
About stacking the room.
About stacking the room. Like I said, you know, it's like Nero probably paid fewer people to stand and cheer when he came back in. You know what I mean? It's...
I mean, Apple has always done that to a certain degree, but I think
yeah,
it's
10 people, mate.
Now. Yes.
10 people with some trash can lids, and that's it. That's all you get. You don't
know. Yes. It's a cast of stomp.
Two-thirds of the audience are paid punters to be there.
Well, yeah. I think you look at it, given the number of product introductions and the different teams that touched yesterday's keynote, having a lot of people there was actually a chance for them to be it sort of celebrated as a team. I mean, when was the last time the Apple TV guys got to go anywhere? I mean, they've been locked in a closet. They've been in the orange room for 3 years.
And that is something that they do.
So I like the idea of bringing the employee excitement. I mean, I think at DubDub, you do tend to see those sort of that hysterical cheering because there are a lot of employees in the room, and this was maybe a little over the top. But at the same time, they were showing cool stuff, so you don't. It wasn't irrational cheering, by at least to my ears.
Good call, Pilot Mike.
God, fanboys.
Hey.
No, I just thought, you know, two-thirds of the audience is tipping the scales a little far. You know, putting a couple of hundred in there, we could go with that, but outnumbering the punters.
Hmm. They could have invited more people and more from the press. I think there were others that would have liked to go.
Did I say that venue actually... that venue
how about everybody in this room?
Yeah.
Sure.
God, would have liked to go.
Well, I know. My card's marked, mate. I don't say enough positive things about Apple to get an invitation to anything.
You know, I don't know that I buy that anymore. I don't think that's Tim Cook's Apple as much. They've always had this... they are inviting a lot more bloggers, I think, now, depending upon... I think it just a lot of it comes down to... You have to be a writer. You have to have a blog. I don't think they're doing podcasters exclusively yet. I hope they will consider that someday for obvious reasons. But, you know, I don't think that's the same Apple. I think it used to be like that. I don't think it is as much anymore. Or I don't get that sense. Apple PR seems to be more open now and responsive from what I understand. I haven't reached out to them too many times since, but maybe other guys here can comment. But, you know, working with Mac Observer, it seems to be a little bit different than it was.
The only problem I've got is if I've got an invitation, would you like to come to a keynote for one day in San Francisco? I've got to get that past the wife.
And and you're only going to get it notified a week in advance.
Yeah. Darling, next
so
week,
it's
sorry.
Expensive as all heck. Yep. Which I mean, again, that could be another factor in this. Yes, they had two-thirds Apple employees, but I mean, how many people got invitations and just couldn't make it? It did look like there were a lot of people from maybe China, Japan, you know, that region of the world as well, just looking over the audience and looking at some of the in-room demos, because those are important, very important markets for Apple as well. But I mean, can you imagine what those people paid to get over there?
What'd you say, Doc? Especially what?
I know, I was saying, especially with the current growth overseas and like what they're attempting to do, and if they're bringing over the foreign like actual press, they're treated a little bit different than we are, based on sheer numbers and no separation of states per se. You're talking about prefectures, which sort of numbers wise grows a little bit bigger than states, and so it's easier for a company like Asahi today to literally fly bloggers over, because they're the equivalent of the New York Times. You know what I mean? As far as just the way they divide the paper up. So I think that Adam's probably correct with the foreign press. And, you know, I kind of agree with you to a certain extent, but being an Apple employee and understanding the way that they love to do these random team building exercises when you do something really well as a team, I get Mike's point extremely well. I've seen it firsthand. Like, they go nuts on your first day. They bring like 3,000 people to clap you in just to let you feel like you're part of the company. It's pretty crazy.
That's good.
And you're thinking like, oh, yeah, I've heard of this before. I'm ready for it. You're not ready for it. You walk into the auditorium at campus, and there's all these people you don't even know just like rip-roaring and hugging you and touching you with their neck beards. Yeah. it's a pretty chicken skin moment. Like, you kind of almost want to cry on your first day at work. It's pleasing. I mean, now I hear a lot of companies do it, but nowhere near to the same effect as doing it at the Coop.
Well, there's a question of, do you want to cry or do you want to bathe yourself in hand sanitizer? Because,
both.
Wow.
Both. And because after all, it is the Bay Area. There's that.
Muller's suggesting that all I have to do is shave my beard off again and the wife will send me out the door until no one come back until it's ready. No, I shaved it off because I had to wear a respirator this summer, and it's taken me 3 weeks to get back to here, so which is better than normal for me. I'm not good, but I showed a picture to the wife, and she said, don't come back till you've grown it back. I'm like, that's like going to be a year. Let's go through it then in kind of, I thought this was a real two halves keynote. First half, they blew me away. I was breathless. They stole all my money and they were awesome. And the second half, I was just like, oh, come on, make an end, fellas, make an end. 2.5 hours is way too long for a keynote. They should be topping out at 1.5 hours tops. And
yeah, it was very
long. Tom Merritt last night said, you know, they kind of shoved the October together with the September, so that's why it was longer, but they killed it. But that first half of the keynote, man, it was just like, I've worked for a whole month just so I can give it all to Sodding Apple. iPad Pro, let's start with that one, because I mean, there's a bit of me, I'm yinging and yanging terribly. The night I was like, oh Christ, where's my wallet, Jesus Christ. And now I'm kind of like, well, yeah, do you really need it? Because, you know, I've got your iPad Air here, and actually I pulled my iPad Air out to use it yesterday and it had got 2% charge on it. I haven't used it for about 6 weeks. And it's just like, do I really need an iPad Pro? And it's like, yes, of course you do. And there's two angels and a devil on each shoulder saying, you definitely do, you definitely don't. As a technical device, I thought it was awesome.
You know, the keynoter's remorse, as I'm going to just coin that now for you. With the keynoter's remorse, I definitely see the points where I would love my laptop. But anymore with... I'll speak specifically from my standpoint. With the things that Adobe's done lately with Creative Cloud, there's so much I could do on the iPad Pro that won't really require my laptop per se. And something about the size, something about the speed, and the apps on these things, you know, from the mobile perspective, are getting better and better and better. And as I watch people use their Surface, and the people that use their Surface love their Surface so much, it's kind of creepy. And this is definitely in that same platform. The only thing it's lacking where Surface has is a really large hard drive, which I really don't care about anymore because I live well in the cloud and I'm in an area where I can stay well connected, so that doesn't affect me as much. I think some of the Air stuff, per se, will be there. The only thing that I would be missing is the ability to edit video, and we can't really say that until we feel how well the more professional editing apps like Avid and some of the other ones work on the iPad Pro.
Yeah. For me, it was a little bit the other way around. When I saw, I mean, from a technical perspective, when I saw the keynote, I was impressed. But I wasn't sure it was for me. But the more I've thought about it and thought about, I have an iPad Air. I want to upgrade this year. But I don't want to upgrade to the Air 2. So either I have to wait a year or I have to go Pro. And the more I've thought about going with the Pro, the more I think it might actually be a good choice for me, because there are things I want to do with my current Air, and I like the size, but I just need a little bit more. I especially need the stylus, so maybe it is an option. The only issue, the only thing stopping me is that there's only one version with cellular data, and I really need that. So it's only the biggest one. So I have to either go all in or do nothing.
I don't know that. I mean, I've got cellular data in my iPad, and I'm going to cancel the card because it's pointless, because I can just tie it to my phone and be done with it.
Yeah.
I don't see any benefit whatsoever in cellular data on a pad anymore. Or on my MacBook. I always wanted a cellular data MacBook, but I don't get that anymore now.
Mike, what about enterprise people? Is it too expensive or too big?
Well, it's interesting because I've seen the Surface start to make a little penetration in enterprises. And by the way, someone posted the cartoon last night I think actually it was during Fireball, linked to the cartoon of you know, Steve Ballmer introducing the Surface. It's like 3 years from now, when Apple does this, you bastards are all going to be saying how awesome it is. And it was pretty funny. The Surface, the people, like, true point that Doc said, people love their Surfaces. They're very passionate about those devices. I think if Apple and Cisco and IBM can continue this enterprise play with the iPad Pro and say, look, this is a true substitute device, it's a true computing device, it may have a big impact. I mean, I had the same sort of keynote remorse that Doc and Ewan were describing when I saw in the pencil, in the Johnny Ive, in the Dulcet Tones video with the pencil, where where someone had the straight edge with their fingers and then they were drawing with the pencil.
That was cool.
At the same, oh my god! Yeah. I was like, yes. Oh, that's amazing! This is amazing. If I want it, I want it. Wait a minute. Yeah,
that got
how many
me
straight
right
edges
there,
am I drawing?
When was the last? When was the last time you picked up a ruler actually in the physical world? Never.
Never happens. So,
right.
So it's one of those things
up
where
a window in my house right now.
I use one every day, but that's
it. Was one of those things where it really took your breath away as a sort of a
nerd. Nerd is the word you're looking for.
No, he's frozen, so he's gone. There we go.
You know what's funny about Mike's point is you had said, Doc, I have to edit, because I said, oh my god, a mother effing ruler, and you was like pissed at me because that's how I was breaking it.
If you'd like to finish Mike's sentence and send in your entries to BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com, we'll be issuing a prize.
Dang it!
You did that like there you go. So dot dot dot. Finish that off for us. Finish the sentence for real off, mate.
What, I don't know what the last thing was that you heard because I didn't see Skype drop. So
if you're
doing it like and then.
Oh God! I don't even know what I said.
Never mind. You had to be there.
Alzheimer's.
I think he was going for, you know, if you're a nerd, this is the kind of thing that immediately excited about.
Yes. And then, if you're thinking, you know, I need to be able to, if the technology is so compelling that it's gonna pull you in, that's great. But are you really gonna spend $1,000 plus to draw straight lines? You know, is this something you need to do?
So. Playing into that, you know, there is something that people have to think about with this. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the moment and go, oh, I got to have one of these, especially when you're a geek like myself, and there's a lot of us out there. But I think it's really defining kind of the two places, because it basically is the same price as a MacBook, right? If you put the 256 MacBook right up against, you know, with the keyboard and the pencil, the middle tier, the 128 iPad Pro, they're almost the same price. You're going to end up spending the same money. So then it really comes down to what kind of user are you and what kinds of things are you going to do? And this plays into a little bit, you know, that the comic that came up. Yes, Apple is, you know, it's 3 years later, and this is basically Apple's version of a Surface. there's two differences, though, two big differences that I think are important and people are missing as they're kind of pointing out this comic. One is timing is everything, right? The Surface, when it came out, the world wasn't ready for it 3 years ago. They're kind of ready for it now, and I think that's why you're seeing some traction happen with the Surface.
And the Surface wasn't ready either.
What?
The Surface wasn't ready either. I mean,
to a certain degree, but I mean, people just weren't ready for it. The other big difference on the Apple side is you have a completely different operating system that is designed for this kind of device. It's designed for, you know, the hardware and the software is designed to work together. So the Pencil is a huge deal, you know, not having latency. I've heard the stylus input on the Surface is pretty good from some designers that I know. They've even considered getting them in lieu of, you know, you sort of making this portable Cintiq thing happen. But I think that's, you know, the fact that this is running an OS that's designed specifically for the kinds of interactions that you're going to have with a tablet is a big deal, and it makes a big difference. And so coming back to this idea of, you know, are you the type of person that wants an ultra portable tablet, you know, that you can type on with this cool keyboard and stuff like that, or are you the type of person that really needs a notebook? And you kind of have to decide, you know, what kind of person you are. So it's not a matter of, you know, oh, this one's better or that one's better. It's which one's better for me and for the kinds of ways that I'm going to use this thing.
Exactly.
What's going to separate us real quick is maybe mid-October, mid-November, when the next actual MacBook Pro comes out. Because we got the new MacBook, we got new Airs, we got the iPad Pro, we got the 5K iMacs. We're going to be looking for a new MacBook Pro. And if they can put a big enough gap between that, like, I was never a MacBook guy. The only reason why I looked at a MacBook all this time was because it's so light and so small. And that was already stepping on the toes of the Air, which we may or may not see anymore. We don't really know. There's been conversations both ways. But I think this go-round, my intentions were, and I remember texting you in this maybe like 3 weeks ago when I first came home from Japan, I'm going to pick up a 5K iMac and the next iPad, and I'm done. I'm going to separate this notebook thing because I don't use my notebook the way I used to use my notebook because of my phone. My phone does so much of that day-to-day mobile stuff. And we had a conversation, and I was asking him about, you know, editing on the 5K. And then I also posed the same question to this Apple Podcaster Slack group. And the guys that have the 5Ks was like, get a 5K. I haven't looked back. I don't even think about the trash can. This rocks. So yeah, I can see where if a new notebook comes out that's similar to the 5K in power, and maybe you still would want to get that in the Pro, and yeah, that's going to require a little bit more money, but the only reason why you would actually need that 5K is you're doing the work that generates that. Or you're just a tosser that likes gold watches.
I think the only thing that there's a comment from Lee in the chat room about, I can't see the Pro being any better than my MacBook Pro for doing photos. And I don't know if I read this, I can't remember where I read this, but I read that it's got 4 gig of RAM in the pad, which is impressive. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, for a mobile processor, totally great. I totally agree. But I'm just sitting thinking, depending on what you're going to be doing in Creative Cloud with your photos or drawing or sketching in Illustrator, I don't think 4 gigs going to cut it for some of the activities that you probably want to do.
Of course not.
It's cars and trucks, though. I mean, we're just moving more into that realm. There's always going to be those of us who need a truck, you know, to haul stuff around, to get big work done. But there's a much larger percentage of the world that doesn't need that. Yeah, you know, they just need a sedan to get them from point A to point B. So, you know,
I'm trying to justify how I'm going to buy it. Jesus Christ, Adam.
Well, to Lee's point, one thing that people don't talk about, yes, there's the 4 gigs of RAM, but there's a difference in the way a motorcycle mitigates horsepower and the way a Porsche mitigates horsepower and an SUV mitigates horsepower. The operating system is so much tinier in a mobile device that 4 gigs of RAM and the custom processors designed to toy with these graphics may actually be snappier. So don't get caught in the numbers just yet. That is one of the things that you're not going to know until you put it in. Use it.
My plan and hope is that, you know, an iPad Pro is going to turn, for me, my MacBook Pro into a desktop.
Yep.
Because that's what I've wanted for a long time. But I try to take my current iPad Air with me as my only device, and it falls just a little bit short in some areas. I can get by with it most of the time, but the experience isn't close enough yet to my MacBook Pro that, you know, I can do everything that I want on it. And I'm really hoping that I find, at least for me, the iPad Pro can do that, with, especially with the keyboard. I'm excited about the keyboard. And I know there's other keyboard products out on the market. I've just tried some of them, and I haven't been really satisfied with any of them.
So you're hoping that this is going to turn your iPad into a desktop from 2007? Is that what you're saying? Because that's the kind of level of RAM, et cetera, that we're talking about.
Well, but no, again, to Doc's point, the RAM doesn't matter. And Apple's proven over and over again with the specs, you know, it doesn't matter if it has 4 gigs or 8 gigs or whatever. If it does what I need it to do and it's fast, I don't care. You know, and the apps are a lot lighter. It manages things a lot better. The OS is different. This is what I was getting to earlier. You know, are you an iOS person or are you an OS 10 person? And I think that's where Microsoft has sort of, you know, gone down the wrong road trying to cram a desktop operating system into this kind of device. Because, again, for those same reasons, like you're saying, they don't have as much RAM. They don't have as beefy a processor. And they can't handle as much. But if you streamline that stuff and you make apps that are optimized for the thing that you're on and keep those separate, then, you know, you don't notice those differences as much. Now, again, you're right. When you're getting to, like, I need to do 8 streams of 4K video, you're going to need a desktop. You're going to need a notebook. But again, the vast majority of people want to shoot some video, you know, probably on their iPhone and just edit it together quickly on, you know, a very mobile device. And this is going to do this very capably.
And they said 4 streams on an iPad Pro, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, 4K streams. Again, but that's the other thing. You have to kind of see it to believe it. And how much? I mean, you only have 128 gigs of physical storage. So, you know, how many streams of 4K video can you have sitting there? Editing, and you're not going to be pulling that down from the cloud and live editing it.
Editing 4K video with 4 gig of RAM.
Yeah. Damn, well, Apple says the iPad Pro will do, and iMovie will do 3 4K streams. In real time.
Apple says the iPhone 6S Plus will do it. But I wanted to make another point, because sometimes it's not about having doing all the things you did before or having all the features. Sometimes it's about having a limitation and then figuring out that what you really wanted is a smaller subset, and you can really get away with it. That's also something you really learn if you're in software or in product development, because sometimes for a new product, you don't need to have all the features the old one had. Sometimes it's more about what you really need. And that's something Apple has been good at compared to Microsoft. Microsoft tried to cram all the features into a Surface and tried to be everything and be a full desktop. And that didn't work out. And Apple is more measured in that approach.
So my point my question is, and it's a genuine question on my part, there was a comment about this is desktop class. As a pad. Well, yes and no, because if you look at the majority of desktops that have probably been sold in the last 12 months, a lot of them are probably dog shit stuff that's been churned out from Best Buy or from Currys or PC World that's really low netbook level type stuff.
Right, it's i3. It's i3 desktop class. Okay. It's so, low right. i5 desktop
and it was, class. And the comparison was faster than 80% of the PCs. Mobile PCs sold.
Yeah, so all of which are dog shit, or 80% of which are dog shit.
It's marketing. So, it's marketing fluff. But this
Let me finish my question, dude. All right.
All right.
It's a good question. Right, I promise you.
Your show. Go.
I want to hear it.
No, what I'm saying is, so let's discount that comment about reference to PCs, because most of them are dog shit PCs. Let's put it back within the Apple framework of the mobile devices and desktop devices that Apple sells. Where does a Pro sit in terms of functionality and computing power with the Air at the lowest level, the 12-inch MacBook, the MacBook Pro, the basic level iMac, etc.? Where does it sit in terms of functionality and computing power within Apple's range?
Easy, between an iPad Air and a MacBook.
Yeah, I think it's the new MacBook Air. I think that the MacBook Air is now the ex-wife, and she's on the way out. And this is the new girl at the office with the nice, you know, USB ports. And
I mean, it's hard to say without having really solid data, but I would agree. I mean, it could be slightly above the current MacBook Air, but probably more similar or below.
All of which start at 8 gig.
Well, I kind of agree with Doc, though. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see the MacBook replace the MacBook Air in the lineup. So you have iPad Pro, and then you have MacBook, and then you have MacBook Pro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the MacBook Air, Adam, you just covered what my MacBook Air and the MacBook itself become one product to get rid of another name. And then the new iPad Pro is the sort of the used to do what a MacBook Air can do for the people that still want that but don't want the full-on machine, but they want portable, and then we'll still have Pro.
Yeah, I want to go back and strongly caution people. I reject the comparison, frankly, Ewan, because, again, these are two different, entirely different platforms that are used by people in complete, I mean, yes, some of the tasks are the same, but how you accomplish those tasks are very different in my mind. You know, it's a different user experience. It's not the same workflows. So you really can't do an apples to apples comparison,
so to speak.
Very good. Very good.
Orange to just oranges. I don't know. It wasn't meant to be a pun. It was.
Well, I mean, I think Apple is trying to shift the computing experience in a couple of ways. One is that, you know, you look at the new MacBook and you see, okay, this is more of the same, in that we're taking the laptop computer experience that we first overturned with the original MacBook Air, and now we're taking it again and simplifying it again and making it less, like making a product that is only what it has to be, absolutely has to be, and nothing more. And then you take something like the iPad Pro, which is almost like an overabundance of this experience. Like, it has more features than an iPad has to have, not fewer. Mm. And the overlap is coming, I think, in again, what the point that was made earlier about the computing experience you need. Is it the truck, or is it the sports car? More, Apple's bet is that more and more people, more and more professionals over time are going to be able to have the iOS experience as their only experience. I don't think any one of us in this conversation believes that internally, that we could be those people who can live with their whole computing experience on iOS, because that's not the universe we come from. But there is a huge population of people that have real jobs and have to do real things that could do them on iOS, and that's what Apple is betting on going forward. I mean, Tim Cook said it in the keynote. The iPad is the purest expression of our vision for what personal computing can be.
Yeah.
So they're not hiding it. This is the destination.
I'm not so sure about that. I mean, would I like to have a MacBook? Yes, but I think, I mean, for a few years down the line, a few things have to happen till then, but I think it might be possible. I mean, development is the only thing for me that's really missing, and maybe podcasting.
But. Xcode,
and
external storage make it hard. At least, I mean, there's a bunch of reasons that it's hard for me personally, but I think once there's Xcode for iOS, you're going to start to see a shift and start seeing people say, well, why do I need a desktop?
Here's what I told Jerome yesterday, because we were having the same quantification yesterday. For the longest time, every one of us in this window right now has rolled into the store, and let's just use Apple price points to kind of cover this, could really walk out with a $2,799 MacBook Pro and be completely stoked. That's basically top of the line as you can get it as a customer without doing CTO. But have opted to give the extra cake to move it up into the $3,299 version, which was basically the extra CPU bump for no reason, the extra graphics card bump, and a little bit more hard drive space. Because as nerds, there's something about having the McLaren. You know, when you pull it out of your bag and say, oh, what'd you get? Well, I have a MacBook 15-inch, blah, blah, blah. You probably never tax your notebook until it's 2 years old. The initial time, you overbuy what you need. And I think the majority of us who talk these things and talk these specs, we have a tendency to do this. And I'm not saying everyone does, but most of us have a tendency to do this. We like to walk out with the MacBook with the most chest hairs on it, so that when we're at the coffee shop with Gamut, we can talk about what we got.
No, I don't know that. No, I don't see that, Doc, because there's certain things that I don't do that wouldn't impress me if the computer was able to do them. I just, right. And I do what any other person does. And I will admit that the number of people who think lower spec than me is probably greater. But I sit and think, how will this fit with what I currently do? How is this going right. to work in my life? My comment at the start, I really want it because it's cool shiz. That's the nerd in me talking, as Mike's just pointed out. But then I'm right. sitting, pulling my iPad out to use it last night with only 3% of charging it because I haven't used the sodding thing for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And, right. it, yeah, but just,
and just, that's the point, is I am going, what is this doing for me? And if it's not doing it for me, that's fine. But I can only have my conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's
you're
really
still, you're still probably thinking about what could I do, and that might be overshooting what you really do.
That's the honest conversation you have to have with yourself, right? It's not right. what do I want to do or what could I do. It's what am I doing and what am I going to do is the question. And that's a hard thing to do, especially, and you pointed out, Ewan, when we're nerds and you're salivating over the technology. I want to hold and touch and have this technology. But, you know, am I going to buy this thing, spend all this dough, and then it's going to sit in the corner, like you're pointing out, if you haven't picked up your iPad. See, in my case, with my iPad Air, I want to use it for more things. It's just hits some limitations sometimes. And at that point, I leave it in the bag. But I use it quite frequently. And I will even suffer through some of the times when it's not giving me everything I want, just because that's the device I prefer to have with me when I'm out and about. So,
yeah, that's where I've been with the iPad for a long time. I have an iPad 2 on my desk right now that honestly I use for Netflix and Hearthstone. And that's it. I don't like working on it. Typing is a chore on it, and typing is 99% of what I do. Right. I can't jump between what I'm typing and my reference very easily. It just takes a really long time to do something that is as easy as pie on my MacBook. And, you know, I've had that conversation with myself, and the answer is, for me, there's no place for the iPad. It's like a really cool Game Boy and TV. Mm. That's pretty much what I use it for. So when I hear things like, you know, well, this device do 4 streams of 4K video, or will allow me to work with photos the way I want to work with photos. And I think, are we forcing it to be something that it really isn't ready to do yet? Or Apple makes things that do that perfectly.
Oh,
it makes a laptop and a desktop that does those things absolutely beautifully. So just use those things.
Well, hang on a second,
though. I'm the wrong person to talk about the iPad because... I don't know. I just haven't found a place for it.
Well, no, hang on a second there, Dave, because I'm going to come back with that, because your comment there about the, you know, we're making it think about photos and video and that kind of stuff. My life is photo and video. My life is editing photos for commercial output and editing commercial videos. And Apple says, this will do photos, this will do videos. They actually said that. They showed people actually doing that on the stage. And I'm looking at it going 128 gig and 4 gig of RAM. And you're saying it actually does photos and it actually does video. I'm light pants on fire.
It will if you work in JPEG. You know, it will if you... They should have called it the iPad Prosumer. You know, I think...
Slick burn, Dave.
Well, forget. Okay, let's say I work in JPEG and I'm not talking about RAW. I want to make two layers. I want to separate two layers. I want to manipulate the layers separately. And
sure.
Then, you know, that's...
And can 4K, do that fine.
The 4K video, I just lie pants on fire with the 4K video thing. I'm sorry.
I think it can, because we don't know the way that the processor is going to work.
No,
and if
I
you
agree.
Take the video, if you take the video, you leave it where it is. You pull the proxy into the program, as the program might be able to do. You work on the proxy and you save out the parts that need to be said. So basically, you're editing an EDO with the representation on the screen. It can completely do that, because that's the way we've been doing it with our slower Mac Pros. My actual 2009 Mac Pro. With my Red, that's what I've been doing for, God, almost
six, seven
years. And it can't display 4K anyway.
Nope, but I edit 4K all the time like that.
So, but my point would go back to the conversation that we started with on this, which is I have my conversation about my life, about how I justify buying my tech, and I'm not having the, oh, it's got to have the most chest hairs on it, to quote Doc. I'm going, this is what I do, it says it does that, but I just don't believe it.
No, it's not... Not at the level that you do stuff, Ewan. I mean, this isn't going to be, again, this comes back. What is the machine for you? This isn't going to be the machine for you. This isn't the machine for, you know, high-end pro video guys. That's what a MacBook Pro is for.
Yeah, and I think it's really great that you're doing that you're thinking about what is the right tool for my workflow, for what I really want.
No, I'm just trying to get across the wife,
mate. A lot of
people
don't do that.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you shoot. Do you need something that you can do some quick, you know, dailies on or something like that? Maybe it's good for that. You know,
Well, I think
it's about the workflow. You got to figure out what the workflow is and does it fit into a workflow. And exactly. I think in a lot of cases it will for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that Adam's pointed. Sorry, Doc. Go ahead.
I was saying the things that cameras are changing too. So the workflow we know today and the workflow that's going to be different for like the new. There, Sony just dropped another A7 on us yesterday, and they also dropped like 5 brand new professional cameras yesterday. So the way that those workflows work with the new the Sony chip that they use that's kind of like an SSD, like even that workflow might be different because the camera is already providing you with the ability to edit some of this stuff mobily so you can shoot out of daily, but you're going to bring it back to the studio to do it. The other thing I wanted to point out real quick, I love it when we, to Kalo's point, so many people say, well, I can't do it this way and I can't do it that way. And that happens to do with our training. But you take a person who decided a long time ago that I'm going to force fit an iPad into my thing. Dude runs one of the best Mac blogs ever, and that's Federico. Yeah. And he ain't touched a computer since he learned to speak English. And so it can be done. So I love it when people poo-poo and say it can't be done, or just for watching Netflix, you can't really create. Federico's making a living using his iPad, you know, things about it. So it can be done if you learn to adapt it to what it
for
can
podcasting.
Do.
That's not what I'm saying either, though.
Different story.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm not saying you can't do creative work on an iPad. You can. But I feel I'm more efficient and successful and productive when I do the work I do on a laptop.
It's not a good keyboard for a typist.
You guys, again, and Lee just put this in the chat, and I was going to comment on this too. You know, there is an old guy, new generation thing going on here too. You know, my kids, they're never going to touch a mouse and keyboard. I don't even think, I'm trying to even think if they have. You know, they work on iPhones and iPads for like almost all their stuff. And trackpads, I guess we have a trackpad that they work on occasionally. I don't know, I should stick a mouse in front of them and see what happens. But honestly, this is their workflow. They're going to be used to everything being touch and virtual and, you know, the keyboard's not going to matter that much to them. It's just how they've grown up. It's in their training.
I've got this skit in my head of the Christensen household sitting around dinner tonight, and the daughter going, "Dad, I got something I need to tell you." He's like, "What?" She said, "I touched a mouse and keyboard today."
Oh, go to your room.
That went sideways in a very odd and weird way.
I didn't think about that until just now. But honestly, I'm trying to think if they ever. The only mouse is in my office, and they don't use this computer.
Yeah. I will say that and Adam, I think my kids may be a little older than Adam's kids, but my girls will monopolize the iMac. One has a Chromebook that she uses; it's attached at her hip, and she's. But I think she's more like Dave. She is a keyboard centric person. She's writing, so she's doing a lot of writing. She can write on her iPad. She wrote like an entire novella in notes on her iPad, which I said that's crazy, but. But it's not that it's not possible, it's not preferable. And when Doc points out that, you know, someone like Federico can transform his workflow, that's great. But there has to be a reason to do it when there are perfectly good tools called laptops that do so much of this and are not any heavier. They may be more expensive, they may be inflexible in certain ways and have a different modality. But, you know, I see my kids using keyboards and mice all the time, usually to, you know, play Sims or to be in Google Docs or whatever. But they are equally comfortable in both worlds. What they're not so comfortable with, I had a tape cassette player sitting out on the table last week, and first the 10-year-old comes through and picks it up and says, "What is this?" And I explain it. She puts it down, and 2 hours later, her sister, the 14-year-old, comes in and says, "What is this?" It's like, wow, I failed. The museum of Jurassic technology is closed for business. We gotta move on.
Good conversation.
I think you're right about the preferable part. I mean, I personally prefer writing articles on an iPad, but I'm not doing it to a level you are. So for me, it's for some. I mean, despite the little bit clunky touch keyboard, it still works better for me.
The one
for some reason.
Go ahead.
Just real quick, because Mike brought this up with his daughter. I mean, my older one writes a ton too, and she, when we got her iPad Mini, she got the attached keyboard. She really wanted it. It's now been thrown out. She doesn't use it anymore. It just sits in the. Wow. She ripped it off, and she just does everything right on the iPad. So.
I mean, the other thing that was quite interesting as well, Dave, which is going to be thinking about you all with a keyboard, is that Phil made the point about the iPad Pro is this turned this way two times.
Right.
So effectively, as I'm holding up my iPad Pro for those that are on audio, so effectively I've got two iPads at home, a 3 and a Pro, and an
Air,
rather. You got
the glass version.
I was going to say, where'd you get the transparent one from?
Yeah, no, this is new, all new look, see, there we go. It goes invisible on the other side. The point is, if you put two iPads together, that's going to be your Pro.
Mm-hmm. Roughly,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, roughly. And it's kind of like, well, hang on a second, I'm sitting thinking about the keyboard. And you might have gone, actually, here, Dave, from the sublime to the ridiculous, because actually you're kind of like this, you know, cramped up on the current keyboard layer, and now the new keyboard layer is going to be too bloody big.
Yeah.
Because it's wider than my keyboard here for the desktop. Good conversation, chaps. Really good conversation. Not sure. We did veer off topic a little, perhaps.
Yes.
Apple TV, first thoughts. Who got wood?
Maybe.
Maybe, just a little. I thought it was cool how Apple said that they invented the Wiimote. That was just amazing. Yeah. Apple's ability to talk bollocks was reinforced. The only thing that's changed is everything.
Yeah.
Oh, for Christ's sake, move on.
Oh, look, they're playing Wii Sports from, what, 12 years ago?
Yep. But that said, no more front row.
I want it because I want it, but right now my Xbox has taken over that portion of my television. The only thing missing from the Xbox is the ability to play my Apple content, and right now my Apple TV just sort of works that way. But more and more it's the Xbox and Plex, and I'm kind of managing my own little, you know, private Idaho. I think I'll probably get one just to see what it's like, but if it's missing that Amazon tile, it goes right back to where the other one is, because right now Amazon TV is the bee's knees for me.
Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. It is good. The Fire's excellent. Someone said last night as well that the you don't get the remote with the stick, the Fire TV stick. And I ordered a Fire TV stick for a PA, and you do get with it. So
you do get the remote, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you don't most get the, you don't get the like a fancy keyboardy remote, but you get a remote.
No. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Right. Start with the obvious then, price. Apple's always had a very keen price on the Apple TV, haven't they? $100 mark has always been really quite good, £60 over here in the US. The UK, mm-hmm. £69. And I thought that was good. And then, you know, you look at, they have added an awful lot to it. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, at the top end, £120 to £150 UK, $199. I didn't think that was that bad. There's a lot of people sucking
OG
in.
Pricing.
I thought that was okay.
Yeah, it is. What Doc said, it's it's going back to the pricing more similar to the original hard drive-based Apple TV.
Mm. Mm-hmm. But what it's giving you, what's the step up is from the current hockey puck, I thought...
It's dramatic.
Yeah, it's huge, and it's $100 more. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's, you can't be, and there was a lot of people complaining about the price. And to be fair, Adam, you said this better not be $199.
Compared to other things that are on the market, it's double the price.
If you had asked,
is it
before,
double the functionality? No, I mean, everything that I'm reading says this pretty much brings Apple up in line with Fire TV and Roku and some of the other boxes that are out there. So what are you getting for your extra $100? A kind of slick, fancy remote.
Well,
with a touchpad. Don't get me wrong. I'm super excited about it because unlike Doc, I'm completely invested in the Apple ecosystem in terms of my content. So, you know, I do HBO and Netflix and iTunes. So, you know, and all my apps are there. I was super excited when they said developers can make their games universal apps. So I'm going to immediately have some casual games, I suppose, if developers choose to go that route, and I think many will, that I can play on that device. So I'm excited about it. I don't think it's overpriced for, you know, Apple people. We're used to kind of paying a premium for stuff. But, I mean, in the scheme of comparing it to what else is on the market, it's a tougher sell.
I can't believe I'm going to defend Apple here, but if you look at the Siri functionality within it, the contextual element of that, I was blown away by that. Fire TV is not even close, mate. So
I don't have one. So
Fire Remote, you can say, right, I'd like to watch a James Bond movie, and it'll show you the James Bond movies. But what was impressive with the Fire TV, with the Apple TV, was the guy said, I want to watch an adventure film. No, just the James Bonds. Yeah. No, just the James Bond. No, and she didn't repeat. She was just the ones with Sean Connery, and it just showed the ones with Sean Connery. So there was a contextual slimming down of the search criteria to get to where you want to be, that kind of drill down through. I've never seen anything do that. I've never seen anything
Series always worked that. Like that. Always worked like that.
Yeah.
It's not been contextual in that kind of regard, has it?
Yeah.
Every time you press the button, it's a new request.
No, you can do it.
You can ask Siri contextual stuff. Yeah. Like if you start talking about your schedule, she'll kind of catch on that you're talking about scheduling things or those sorts of things. Maybe not to the same degree that it seemed like it was happening with the Apple TV, but there's always been some contextuality to Siri.
Apple's been behind on that because Google Now's had that for a bit, and Cortana actually is ahead in terms of contextual voice search. Yeah. Understanding what do I mean when I say... Yeah, or actually, I don't know if it was a Wolfram Alpha demo or a Google Now demo, but it was, you know, how old, you know, drilling down and how old is the president and, you know, then his wife, like being able to make that jump from, okay, we were talking about something, now we're going to refine and we're going to continue that context. Mm-hmm. Everyone's headed that way. But one thing I have to correct, I said the Fire TV stick comes with a remote. It does, but it doesn't have the voice recognition, which is a big piece of it. I think... I'm starting to become concerned with the number of devices in my life that are listening to me talk. I just got on the same day this week. My birthday was last week, as we mentioned before the show. Doc and I share a birthday month, and I got an Echo named Alexa. I got an Amazon Echo and an Apple Watch on the same day. So now the number of things, and as soon as I get my Apple TV, there are going to be like 15 objects in my house that are listening to me. I am beginning to worry. What happens when they start talking to one another behind my back?
Dude.
I want about the pricing. If you had asked me before the announcement, I mean, there were a few rumors. I didn't really pay much attention. But if you had told me the new one will have apps and it will be $199, I would have said that's too much and I probably won't buy one, especially since I just bought a third gen. And that has completely changed. Now that as we've seen what it can do and what it can't do, I want one. The only thing really missing for me is 4K, because I have a brand new 4K TV. Yep. I want 4K. I know why Apple isn't doing it, or at least I have a good guess.
I don't.
But I want.
I do.
Well, I'm guessing it's that the too, content the, just
the
isn't there.
The data
yet.
Load is just too horrific.
Yeah. So I was going to say that to you, Adam. I was going to mention the only my plan is exactly like you. I'm doing everything the way you're doing it. But the only difference is I got a brand new Sony 4K TV, and the reason why I'm so stuck on Amazon and Netflix right now is the 4K stuff looks amazing. But to Ewan's point, the data load is crazy. I have upgraded my home plan, which you guys are looking at me why I look so sexy right now. It's because I have 300 down and 50 up, because that's the only way my 4K TV can do it. And if it wasn't for the ability to get that and have my condo pay for it because it's part of the association, I probably would not do such a thing. And you definitely need a fire hose coming into your house. And we don't have fiber yet. The competitive company is dropping fiber like in the next couple of months. But yeah, we don't have the speeds that say like New York has or some of the major cities. So I can totally see where... You know, like I want to know why they didn't do it. Just put the capability, even though you don't have the content on your side. But for the fact that my iPhone can do it, and then my iPad Pro is going to be able to do it, why can't I play the stuff that I created with my Apple device in 4K on the device you just told me to buy for $200?
Yeah, that's the weird thing. That was the point I was going to make. So you made it for me. Is like why let us shoot and create our own 4K content with your products if you're not going to let us also watch it?
Because I think a huge part of the TV is still the TV part, TV and the apps part, and they aren't ready yet.
I mean,
but
yes,
they will
yes,
be. It's coming.
Absolutely, I agree.
So
it would have made
why
sense,
not hedge
but...
your bets? People are going to say, well, because it's Apple and they want us to buy the next, you know, the Apple TV 5 or whatever we're going to call. What is this one's just called Apple TV, right? It's not
Apple
like
TV.
Apple TV 4.
We have always been more with East Asia, and this has always been Apple TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Gen 4. So, they want us to buy Gen 5, which will have the 4K, I guess.
I just got Mike in my head going, remind me on the 6th, and Siri going, I'm sorry, Mike, did you say the 6th, the Sith? And Cortana piping up in the background going, yeah, no, I heard 6th too. Yeah, I definitely heard 6th. And then ganging up on you. And then Mike going to the doctor and saying, Doc, my devices are talking to me.
Right.
And within a year...
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, within a year, he's in an asylum.
Yeah, they're talking behind my back. Oh, we're going to treat you for paranoid schizophrenia. No, seriously, they're talking... Did you say Siri? Hey, Siri? Yeah, they...
Seriously.
Well, dude, I listened to an audiobook the other day, and I swear the guy said seriously like 10 times in a row, and the freaking iPhone stopped every single time. And I was like... And I'm in the shower, and it like, you know, like I'm an interesting part of the book, and it, I swear, I was just tripping out that it hasn't figured out how to filter that.
Yeah.
Like from
how many people are going
to
be pissed
internally to what it's listening to?
How many people are going to be pissed that Siri Hey goes off now without having to be plugged in?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
With podcasters, like it's going to get even worse. We can't even say those two words together anymore.
Well, you can't say any of them together. You're looking at Mike's house. And I'm not that far behind him because I got Echo on my Christmas list for mostly the simple reason that there's other things out there like the Echo that I really want. But one more thing before we get off this topic. I recently helped a friend install one of these off-brand Amazon $80 Android MX 4K boxes. I swear, $88. And it comes like ready to play everything you can throw at it. And they have like a little built-in app store that you go to, and it gives you every single thing that's out there. Like there's almost nothing missing from it. And then those are kind of already pre-set up that if you know how to search the internet, you can even put abilities to stream network TV from almost any country. And so again, it can't be the hardware price because this generic Android MX is basically like a Fire Stick or a Roku. With their own custom operating system, which is XBMC, aka Kodi now. The thing is amazing, and it's 80-something bucks, and it actually does 4K that looks pretty decent. So I'm still curious to that 4K thing. I just don't get it. I'll probably buy an Apple TV anyway because I've always had one, but I really don't get that.
Yeah.
My one question about Siri on Apple TV, and this wasn't clear to me, maybe I just overlooked it, is when I use the... voice control on my Fire TV and I say I want to watch whatever Modern Family, it'll go and find it, you know, in Amazon Video, but it'll also show that it's on Netflix or Hulu or whatever. It'll pull the different apps to see if it has what I'm looking for, and I'm wondering if Siri on Apple TV will do that or if it'll just push you to the Apple content.
It'll show you the one that's available for purchase ahead of all the others.
To answer your question, David, is a universal search, so it'll search across Hulu. What is it out of the box? Hulu, Netflix, iTunes, Showtime.
Yeah.
What about
they're going to add more. I'm assuming there's a developer API. I haven't dug into this yet. That would allow developers to expose metadata, but
it's probably the same thing that's on iOS 9.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that. Apple may hold that, and you may have to go to Apple if you're a content provider with an app, you may have to go to Apple and say, I want to, make this available. And maybe you've got to do, I don't know if it'll be a public API or something that Apple says you've got to sort of partner up with us.
Guys, and as far as all the listening devices in Mike's house, your whole family is going to have to learn sign language, Mike.
Not a bad idea.
You know what we miss, guys, on the Apple TV thing real quick? Is the Apple TV is going to fly come the next couple of months. Let's give them a quarter and a half. Where they finally get there, give us $40 and leave everybody else alone subscription. Then the Apple TV is going to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Because I would much rather pay them than pay the a-holes at Time Warner Cable.
Last up, a quick one on the Apple, on the watch. I mean, the watch for me didn't seem like you know, the extra bands, wow, okay, great. The kind of motion background that's going to sap your battery like you wouldn't believe. Well, yeah, okay, fair enough.
The Hermes thing is interesting. Somebody pointed out that Johnny Ive said that Apple's never done this before in terms of taking somebody else's industrial design or someone else's branding and putting it on a product that way. I mean, it would be like having, you know, the Apple TV Sony edition. With Sony written on it. Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting that this is
Motorola iPod?
The HP iPod.
Yeah, something.
Oh,
yeah,
good point.
You did have the HP iPod.
And the Motorola iPod phone or whatever it was called.
Yeah,
the rocker.
Something
the
like
rocker.
That, yeah.
The rocker.
Yeah, that was weird.
Ah, the rocker. But it is unusual to get that kind of high-profile fashion branding. I think this is,
right.
You know, I smell some Angela Ahrens action there.
Oh, no.
Because I think that she, you know, it's her ability to connect with those fashion brands and the other folks who are on the Apple Watch team. They can start to think about alliances and pulling in, you know, somebody who wouldn't necessarily wear an Apple Watch but would wear an Hermes watch. Those, by the way, are not going to be cheap.
No, they're $1,500 for the double tour, $1,000 for the single tour, and that's based off a fat person's arm like myself. I ain't going to lie. If I come up with a sort of expendable $1,500, I will immediately buy an Hermes double tour band because I love that band. I haven't had one of those watch bands since the early 80s when I thought I was going to be a rock and roller, and I loved it back then, so... Part of me nostalgically would buy it, but I'd totally, it'd have to be completely expendable. Like, this was free cash I found in a couch cushion, or like, I don't know, my sister bit the farm and gave me her money. I don't know. But I think I would buy it.
You can't underestimate the French for producing overpriced shit, can you?
No.
they're top of the charts for that, no question.
Yeah, yes.
No, at least the shit that China produces is cheap.
And now Adam made me feel guilty for trying to run off my sister, but I've been telling her that since I was like five, so she knows.
You're gonna get a Tiffany one that comes out or something, and it's gonna be in the box blue.
Oh
yeah.
My god!
Yeah, and it's gonna be like $300 for the rubber band in box blue, the Tiffany key.
That box. I mean, somebody said years and years ago. Somebody said to me, I got my wife a ring because we had no money when we got married, and they had been married for 10 years. I got her a ring, and I got it from Tiffany. Should I take it out of the box and should I just give it to her? Should I give it to the box? I'm like, are you an idiot?
You paid
an extra 20% for that box, just for that blue box.
You can't get the
boxes.
You can't get the boxes in the white ribbon.
It's
at all. You have to buy the product. Now the wife loves Tiffany, unfortunately.
It's a very expensive habit, brothers.
Yes.
One thing I am excited, though, I am excited about WatchOS 2, and it was funny, like, literally, one of my friends who always asks me all the crazy things after every keynote, he goes, oh, how come there's no new Apple Watch? I'm like, bro, it's only 3 months old. Did you forget that?
Yeah.
But what we know, I mean, and literally, because it's been so loud for so long, he totally forgot that it's only 3 months old. And I told him, I says, the one you have on your wrist, you haven't really felt anything yet. About 2 weeks from now, when the 19th rolls around, or the 30th, whatever the heck that date was, when you get OS 2 stroll into your watch, you're going to get a brand new Apple Watch right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, watch OS 2 is really interesting. I mean, I've been testing it for a while.
There's an old Richard Pryor joke about, you know, this, and I'll try to keep it as clean as possible, about the man... like telling his wife that he's leaving because he wanted to find some, you know, new female body parts. And she says, well, if you were a little bit longer, you'd have found some new female body part here. And that's what I feel about the Apple Watch.
Yeah. Last up then, iPhone 6S and 6S Plus. I was bored by this point, I have to say.
40 minutes they spent on that thing.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, everything's changed. My... arse, everything's changed, boys. It's all the friggin' same, and I've got to say, yeah, the 4C Touch thing, 3D Touch, oops, Frederigi, Fair enough, but I think someone's written me. I've had a couple of emails about this saying that I think you haven't understood what Force Touch is about, Ewan. No, I understand exactly what Force Touch is about. I said the way that they demoed it made it look like a piece of cheap shit that you could do with prolonged press. That's
but you
the problem.
Can't. Yeah, we figured that out though. That's the peak and the pop thing, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a secondary level of press that happens, and you could do that with timing, but it would not work as well.
No,
so
I totally
you
agree,
had to sort of half press
showed,
and leave the little peak there, and then decide when you want to go in. If it was timed, it would, it'd be constantly going off on you when you didn't want it to.
Yeah, but my point was, what they demoed and the way they demoed it didn't lead you into thinking it was going to be something that was cool. It was badly shown, I thought. Horrifically yeah. shown.
It's really hard to show on to video, show. Almost immeasurable amount of pressure from your thumb on a piece of glass. It was, yeah. I think it was just a very, very difficult thing to show well. Like, how do you convey, I'm pressing hard, now I'm pressing a little harder?
Normally is when the eyes start to roll back in the head. No, sorry. We're trying not to joke. I was thinking about doing a Vader joke. But I told you in the keynote, and we were kind of arguing about it a little bit. This is one of those things that everyone's going to poo-poo until they put their hands on it. And once
you
can see,
exactly right.
When you drive it for yourself, I loved original Minis. And when the BMW Mini came out, I poo-pooed it, and I'm a BMW fan. I'm like, that's so dumb. I just should have left it like the old school look and blah, blah, blah. And then literally 3 years into poo-pooing the Mini, I had to babysit a friend's Mini and drive it kind of like from one side of the island to the other over this giant mountain through the road. And it's called the Pulley Highway. Anybody that's been here, it's the curviest road in the state of Hawaii. And after that, I wanted to buy a Mini so bad. I just looked like a circus bear on a tricycle, but I wanted one so bad because when you drive that go-kart, bruh, it would pop your socks. And so this is the same thing with this phone. You're not going to feel that or understand it. And
yeah.
All the new tech they put in, there's no way you can demo it on video. And yes, they did a crappy job of it, but it won't matter once people touch it.
And I think it's the same thing when they were demoing the watch before the watch was available. They're talking about, it gives you a tap and how that little engine works. And all you see is, a picture of a watch on someone's wrist and they're sort of reacting. And I thought, mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool, but it's impossible to convey that. And the first time I put mine on and I felt that little thing, it's like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I had no idea that's what it was going to feel like. I think the same thing is going to happen.
But the Taptic Engine is not new, so people do have a reference point from which to begin. And
yeah,
to have said, look, okay, because the peak and the pop bit never came out for me at all. And maybe I was too busy shooting shit and throwing
I think we were. I totally missed that part.
Yeah, but the idea of a two-stage press, the idea of multiple levels of interaction with it, so when you've got the camera open, you touch the focus, that's the part touch, that's the peak, and then when you press, that's the pop that operates the shutter, that kind of stuff. That never really flowed out for me. People would have got that because they've all gone in and touched the MacBook. And I bet you one of the big problems that they've got in Mac stores is people that know walk in and they switch the MacBooks off so that they can press it and go, see, it doesn't move.
Mm.
They're going to do the same kind of thing.
I think Apple had to really hammer, it's different, it's different, it's different, it's different, because it looks exactly the same. And I think there's a large section of the potential customers that think if it looks the same, it is the same. So I think Apple really had a hammer. It's not the same. It's different, and here's why it's different. And that's why they spent 40 minutes talking about it. Because if you go into the Apple store and you say, oh, here's a 6S and here's a 6, I don't understand. It looks like the same phone. So Apple had a hammer.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not the same.
Tim Cook really hammered that part in. I mean, right from the get-go. I mean, with the everything is changed and the whole video later on the ad with all that's changed is everything or something like that. They really hammered that in, and I recognize that, but you're right. Other people won't.
But their market is taking people like me to sit there and go, oh, how can I justify getting another phone this year? And I didn't look at that phone and think it was something I needed at all.
Well,
I think it depends on obviously what phone you have. I'm moving up from a 5C, so for me it's going to be
different
a very
story.
Nice upgrade. If you've got a 6, I don't know, was 3D Touch compelling for you? Yes or no?
Yes,
no.
I'm going in.
You're a fanboy.
No, I'm going to say, I will defend that right away, not even from a fanboy standpoint. One of the things I use my phone for quite religiously right now is photographs and things like that. And for every single phone, no matter if they did nothing else, I would always take it just on camera pop. And I agree with you, Ewan, on the high-end side. I wish I could do that stuff, but I can't. So that's what I have in AR, I mean, A7R and now an A7 II for. But on the general everyday use, I use my phone camera religiously. Anybody that follows me on Instagram probably hates me because I probably eat a large portion of their battery. But I think the things that they've added, and even just the way you take the picture, the megapixels could have been the same, but the combination of using 3D touch with the camera alone would have been worth the upgrade if you use it the way it does. I think there's something about the live pictures, gimmicky, yes, but Apple has a tendency to take stuff that sounds gimmicky at first and actually make it work. And that's why I thought that although Taptic Touching has been around for a long time, this hardware version is going to be much better than the kludgy software versions I've played with on Android phones in the past. So, yes, everyone says, oh, everyone's already done that, but I was really good at waiting and doing it correctly.
Exactly. Live photos, people were saying HTC had this, somebody else had this, you can do this with other cameras, there are point-and-shoot cameras that can do this. Doesn't matter. Everybody had NFC before Apple Pay, but nobody used it because it was dumb and clunky. This is the same thing. And to have that photo experience where you look at it and it feels like magic. How did they do that? How did this motion capture come in? The camera's always got a 3 second or 1.5 second buffer. It's constantly running and it's going to save that automatically whenever you take the picture. Doesn't matter. I've got a Harry Potter. I've got like the Hogwarts photo frames in my pocket, and you can't put a price on that. Like what people are going to freak out when they see that in person.
Yep.
They're going to lose their stuff.
That was a wall moment for me when whoever was demoing held the lock screen, and all of a sudden that little girl started dancing around. I said, what did you just see? What just happened?
Witchcraft. It's witchcraft.
If you've seen Kalo's daughter on Facebook when he posted pictures of the stuff that they do. So I can see you guys, and I mean, granted, she's not mine, but she's my Emma, and I'm with her like freaking five times a week. There's every time, even with the way the camera's now in burst mode, I still miss a lot of the funny stuff that she does. So having this do this for me is going to just change all kind of things. Like,
it's going to be nuts.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't even have that same dad reaction. I got the uncle reaction, and I'm stoked.
Yeah, the dancing dog bit as well, though. That was
bad. Yeah, dancing dog. They should just show that for the rest of the thing. That was
that
great.
That was bad. That was
have that in this bad. Store.
So we talked there about the iPhone 6. You look at how long we talked about the iPad Pro. You look at how long we talked about the Apple TV. And we're done at the iPhone 6S, the 6 Plus Plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point, right? That's always there. The
case with the S, isn't it? And it's funny that we're on our
watch. But everything's changed, Doc. Everything has changed.
I think it was different.
Everything has changed that we've managed 10 minutes of conversation about it.
Yeah. It was but different we're for on 4S, but we got Siri.
And we already know what's going to happen. And yet... Yeah. Yet people are still freaking out that it wasn't this kind of change. I'm like, brother, we're on our fourth S. You know exactly what the S cycle is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, right. It's the S.
And
yep.
But everything's changed.
But it has.
That's marketing.
What? Maybe the internals have
what are they going to say?
It's you get so caught up in Apple's marketing. It's.
I just can't stand the bollocks they talk. That's what's my problem. Okay.
But everybody does this. I mean, this is how you sell
products.
Haven't
you called it the friggin' 7 then if everything's changed?
Because
I mean, how about the call out earlier that, you know, 90% of the everything that's changed has been done by someone else and Apple's claiming it as their own as being their revolutionary, you know, discovery.
That's right.
Let's call them out on that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So the reason why they can get away with everything has changed because they do have in America, they can say what they want. But in the other rest of the world, they have to be careful the way they verbalize it. Right. If you take the screen in the back off and you dump your innards on the ground, all the innards are different, so they can get away with everything has changed. And the glass is even different, so they still can get away with everything has changed. The only thing that's the same is the outside case on the back. So, in theory, they're telling the truth. Now, is that overreaching? Maybe.
Is it overreaching? Maybe is the understatement of the year, mate.
No, because, again, you're not going to feel these differences until you use it. You're getting a new OS. You're getting a new glass. You're getting a new camera sensor. You're getting a new Taptic vibrator. You're getting a new battery. You're getting a new Wi-Fi, a new LTE. That's the entire phone, dude. What did they not put?
We invented a new stylus. Brand new.
The pencil.
Never been done before.
The pencil.
And we're calling it the same name that nobody else uses for their product.
Yeah, I did like the pencil. I thought the pencil was awesome.
Oh, I love it. It is. It's revolutionary, but is it, you know,
but that's
there are other styluses.
That's my point. I made a quote last night on DTNS that said, you know, in the words of Jimmy Greaves, this is a game of two halves. And Jimmy Greaves was a quality, say it how it is, TV pundit for football years ago. They get to half time and they'd say, so what did you think, Jimmy? As well, football's a game of two halves, isn't it? And it's like, you know, I don't care what's gone up to half time, it's what happens after half time that decides the end result. And the thing with the Apple keynote was they blew my mind in that first half, and then the second half they told me they were going to blow my mind, and it was,
well, they just did it. I really think they did it backwards. You know, the problem is they ended with the least impressive product. And they started with the most.
Exactly.
And you don't want to run it that way.
They were clinging on to a 0-0 draw at the end as opposed to going for the win.
Right.
On the away goal.
And I hate that in footy. Yeah. You know, Adam's right. The reason why they should have put the iPhone first is because, and this would have been tough, or they should have sandwiched it in the middle. There's a whole bunch of people that don't need to upgrade. So those are all the people that poo-poo.
Yeah.
All of the guys that are sitting on a 6 that don't need to upgrade, and I will always say this, and I will take every stitch of the hate mail for it, or that don't have the means to upgrade, they always poo-poo it. But if I walked up to every single one of those people that poo-pooed this upgrade and go, you know what, Uncle Doc's going to buy you a 6S, they would freaking bow to my feet and tie my shoes. So stop lying that you don't really want it just because you can't afford it. I'm going to just say that because people do that. And I'm like, all right, I'll pay for it. Okay, I'll get it. I see. I knew you were lying. Because a true Patriots hater like myself, if you tell me I'll give you season tickets, I'll tell you, screw that. I'll give it to Dave. Because as a Raider fan, I would never sit in that cheating, deflate-gated seats.
Oh, easy. All right, Jesus, boys. I'd rather we started something on religion. Christ.
No, I'm just saying, I'm proving a point. I'm using an angry thing to prove a point that a lot of people poo-poo stuff because they don't want to spend the money. But if they had it, if it was free, they would do it. So don't use that as your thing. If you really think it's dumb, which I believe you in, because he could buy one.
It's
dumb.
I mean, the 4K video doesn't bother me, but what I know I'm getting is sharper 1080 if I buy that. So that's not bad. I'm okay with that. What bothered me was the super slow-mo, because the super slow-mo at 720 is shitty. If they gave me super slow-mo at 1080, I'm sharpening my credit card now. I want that phone. Because the super slow-mo at 720 is poor, and it stands out. It really stands out badly. In a 1080 video. If they can give me that at 1080, at 120 frames a second, I would have purchased the camera there and then. The phone there. There was a slip. Christ.
It really is a camera with a phone wrapped around it at this point. So,
No, it really isn't. this podcast and all the others is supported by UK2. We love them to bits. Thank you ever so much to them for looking after us. And thanks to you guys, because you're looking after them. They are very happy with the engagement from BTN listeners in the way that people purchase websites, domains, co-location services, web hosting, dedicated servers. Absolutely brilliant. If you like their stuff, then go through our website, please, britishtechnetwork.com/UK2. We'll get you straight to the UK page with a tracking link that says that we sent you. If you want the offer codes, because we've still got all the offer codes, 20% off your domain names and all that kind of stuff, then go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, and you can look there and get all the offer codes that UK2 give us. Please check them out, because they we wouldn't exist without them. You know, we've got the live streaming comes from 100tb.com, which is an affiliate of UK2, and the servers host all of the files. We've got gigabytes. We've got 300 gigabytes of shows sat on a server that UK2 provide us with. You can go all the way back and check it out. So thank you to them. And I want to give a shout out to Hoyer as well. Mark was here last night from Hoyer. So have a watch of the big show, because Muller, who's in the chat room regularly, he was one of the first BTN listeners to write to Mark and say, do you know what, I really would like a pair of your Hoyer specs, which I have here. And he had them fitted live on the show last night. And he's over the moon with them. I have a pair here which I need to do a review on, but I haven't used them for the last month because I've been away. So I will get to that. But if you'd like to get in touch with Hoyer and have an inquiry about, you know, you're coming up for changing your specs and you want to see them, then, Adam, what have you just typed?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So,
I was confused when you said that, because I thought it was, and I just went to double-check the specs, and it is. It's not 240 at 720, or at 1080, but it is 120 at 1080.
Oh, well.
Gotcha.
And we missed a point that Major Eichmann said, or Magic Man, hello. Magic Man said, even the case is different because it's 7,000 aluminium. So ergo, everything is freaking changed.
Is it really? Is that confirmed?
Yes.
I'm looking at Apple's spec page right now, and I thought it was, but I went to confirm before I typed it.
Oh, who cares? Who cares? It's a different aluminium because Tim wiped it down.
Are we talking about the aluminium, or are we talking about the...
It was a rumor.
120 at 1080p.
Tim spat on it, so it's a completely different aluminium.
He spat on it.
No, that is pretty much confirmed, because that's what Phil Schiller said. I think Phil said, this is the Apple. He gave it the same branding as they gave the Apple Watch. He said it's the same aluminium as the Apple Watch.
Yeah, and they had to do it because of Bengate. Oh. So we knew we were getting new aluminium.
Give over. Right, anyway, Hoyer, check out Hoyer as well. Write a podcast. Sorry. Write to podcasts@hoyer.co.uk, and they'll hook you up with someone who does the whole experience, the use of the iPad. And what was really cool last night was Mark put the glasses on Steve, and then he checked the plane of alignment relative to his face using the inclinometer on the iPhone. Superb. Apple does change everything. Right.
Now you have a reason to get a 6S.
Thanks, man. That's what Plus. I didn't need. Cool things. Start us off, Mr. Patrice Bendemore. Put a link in the chat room if you would, chat, so that you can go ahead and get
I completely
the
forgot
notes.
To prepare a cool thing. So maybe I can go last, and I have time.
The guys will put the links in the chat room for the cool things. Yeah. Just want to say thanks to Anders, because he sorted out streaming on HTML5. So you can now watch us on your iOS device. You can also watch us on Windows Phone if you're a Windows Phone user, or any Android device, or you can watch it on Safari on your Mac without having to enable Flash. You'll get a slight delay over everyone else, but if you want to watch it at the 2-second delay, then all you do is watch it in Chrome. But thanks to Anders for doing that. And also, one of the things that he's done is set up chatbot. So when you've got the room is running, chatbot always runs in the room, and you can it gathers all of the chat that takes place, and it stores it by 24-hour period. So go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and all the links that we talk about and all the conversations that happen in the chat room are in that page. Just click on the date and have a read. Adam, what have you got for us as a cool thing?
I am going to go with paperless, because I'm getting toward the end of the year when I need to start pulling all my documents and stuff together, and I'm starting to ramp that up again. So paperless is from Mariner Software, and it is an app for managing and organizing your paperless workflow. So if you have like a ScanSnap or something where you're scanning all your documents that you get throughout the year, this is an app for managing that, and it's very much kind of like an iTunes, you know, style way of managing it. You've got three panels. You've got different folders and smart folders that you can throw stuff into. So I have one set up for like my business, and then those are subcategorized versus stuff for the home and things like that. So I scan in all my receipts and all my bills, and everything goes into there. It has OCR, so you can search through stuff and find it very easily. You can add additional categories and information. You can add stuff for taxes. So if it's stuff that you need to get, you know, you're getting reimbursed or you're doing business expenses on, and it will keep track of all your amounts. And then, you know, once you have all that stuff in there, you can do all kinds of great stuff with it, including like running reports and things like that. So I can look at, you know, what was my travel expenses for this year, or how much did I spend on meals and all that sort of things, or gas or fuel, you know, whatever it might be. And it's just a really, really great, efficient app for managing your paperless document workflow. So.
Excellent, mate.
Paperless by Mariner.
Did you say a cost there?
And it's also available for Mac and Windows. So you need to go between clicking the Buy Now button. I can't remember. I bought it so long ago that it's hard for me to remember, but I'll get a price for you here in a second. as soon as my...
Basic one's $24.95, and you can go up to $99.95 for a 5 license pack. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yep.
You can also get a competitive upgrade deal if you have another organization product.
Yeah, they do have a light version, apparently, for $24.95. I don't know what the differences are. I have the full version. I mean, at $25, I don't know, they're the same price. Oh, that's an upgrade price for the light. I have no idea what the difference between light and... non-light is. Just get the regular one, and it's $49.99. Sorry, it's $49.95. You and $24.95 is the upgrade price.
Excellent. Doc, what do you have for us?
Mike gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta go. So
okay, go for it, Mike.
I jump again. So I was going to go for the Roost stand, the new Roost, which is supposed to be shipping in the next few weeks. If you know the Roost stand, the original Roost stand, the one that they made out of guitar plastic and baling wire, it looks cool. It works really well. I have one, and it infected my whole office. There were a bunch of them that got purchased. But the original one is still kind of rickety. It involves a clip holding that fits in between the body and the screen and the laptop that people found challenging and difficult to use. And it needed to be re-engineered. So they've done it. It was kick-started to a ridiculous degree, and they're now up for pre-orders. Pre-orders are going to be $59 for the stand, and then you can pay an extra $35 for the case. It's at therooststand.com.
Yeah, the Roost has been picked an awful lot on this show, and it's with good cause because it is an awesome stand.
Yeah. I'm using it every day, and I'm in fact using it right now.
It is good, yeah. My very
See?
Good call.
Patrice is using it. Patrice is soaking in it.
Yeah.
That's my DJ stand, and all the other DJs goes, ooh. And so when a new one came out, I had like 8 of them buy them.
So, but thanks, guys. I got to run. Someone's waiting for me.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you for having
pleasure,
me on.
Mate. Great to see you. Thanks for coming along. See you soon. Bye-bye. Doc, what have you got for us?
Okay, so like I said, when I came back from Japan, like literally the day after I got back, we started getting hammered with all of these storms and whatnot. My office got flooded 3 times, and then so... 2 of my favorite go-to apps right now, because I'm really paying attention to them a lot. One is Dark Sky for the iPhone and the iPad. And it's a really good state-of-the-art predictability app that sort of tells you, better than the local chick on the weather or the weatherman, it tells you like when the drizzle is going to happen. Your watch will bub-bub, and then it'll go drizzle starting soon. And then you about 4 more steps down the block, and you feel the first drop on your forehead. And I'm like, yo, that's just incredible. It's so accurate. It's pretty insane. And then there's another app that I've been using a lot, if you're into this sort of thing, and it's called Hurricane HD, and it's by a company called Kitty Code. And I actually spoke to the girl Kitty on Twitter a lot when I was going through this, looking at following what's going on with the metric crap ton of tropical storms, depressions, and hurricanes that have been attacking Hawaii lately. And I can literally see the tracking, and I'm like watching all this stuff. I'm hearing the information, and about 4 hours later, somebody in the Pacific Hurricane Center would be like, hey, look, here's a new storm, and this is what we're calling it. And I'm like, man, I saw that on my iPod, like, that's so 4 hours ago on my iPad. So it's really, really accurate. It's up to date. You can track all kinds of, weather systems, and I don't know how she does it. And this is programmed by one girl by herself, and it's pretty amazing stuff. But those are my 2 apps right now.
Using gigabytes of data from NASA.
Probably. Yes. And until this tropical storm like flurry is over, I'd literally feel like, you know, one of Ali's opponents in the late 70s. We're getting just hammered. I'm waiting for this crap to go away.
Good. I had to make hurricane sound mundane. Yeah, no, that was so 4 hours ago, love.
Right. This thing that might almost kill us.
Yeah.
What have you got for us, Dave?
I have got a great little travel app that recently received a very nice update. It is called Rego. You can find it at rego.to, and I believe it is $7.99 in the App Store now. Yes, it is not universal. It's iPhone only. But there are things that I like about this a whole lot. First and foremost is it's not a social network. It's a collection just for yourself of where you've been, of things you've done, of places you really like. There is a few export options if you want to grab that stuff and keep it safe. There's also an optional backup service available. So if you get a new phone or you have to reinstall the app for some reason, you know, all the 20 or 30 places you've visited over the past few years won't suddenly be gone. But when you save a place, you can tag it and categorize it. You can add a photo, add the address, and some notes about what you liked about it. And, you know, if you're a person who likes to travel around, it becomes this nice little tidy, well-organized, and great-looking memory of all these places you've been. It's a really nice little app. I've been using it for years and years and years. And now when I go and revisit cities I've been to before, I can look and say, oh, yeah, that's where I liked to eat, or that's the hotel we were at that was nice, or that's the one sightseeing thing that I did that was really, really well. And there's the map right there so I can get back to where I need to be. And it's great. It's a nice little app. So it's called Rego, and it is at rego.to.
Excellent, mate. Good one.
Very
cool. Yeah, it does look nice. It's very well laid out as well. It's very nice, nice in UI.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
I remembered what I wanted to pick. It's a Netflix original series, yet another one of the great ones. It's called Narcos. It's about, I mean, it's not a documentary, really, but it's very close to it. It's about the drug lord, Pablo Escobar, and his criminal exploits and stuff like that. So it's really, I mean, I've just started. I'm behind, but it's really great. I'm enjoying it, and I can highly recommend it.
Excellent.
Amazing.
I've seen that, and it's one of those things I've looked at, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to get into that, because I probably wouldn't put it down if I did. So.
Yes.
It's hard to make yourself go to bed. I watched the episode last night right before I went to sleep, and I'm like, look, you got to get up at 3:30, so turn it off. But I almost wanted to start another episode. It actually is that good.
Yeah, same happened to me yesterday.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. My cool thing is finally, I backed this a while ago, and I did complain about these bitterly, the TrackR Bravo.
Oh, you got it.
I got it. They came through. I bought 10 of these. They're $6 a piece, so $10 a piece rather. So they're not horrifically priced. And if we just open this one up, I got one deliberately in rose gold, just for you, Doc. Rose gold aluminum, just for you. So all you do is you download the application. I've already got a couple of these set up, so this is a new one, and you open it up on the app. There we go, and that's the ones I've already set up showing on the app. Yep, which doesn't show out very well, unfortunately, because it's white. But so there's the thing: you push the blue button, and then it flashes a blue light, and you go here and you add a new device. Yep, is that the one you want to do? Yes. So you say yes, it is, and it launches with TRK. That's it. It's synced. It's done it straight away. So this thing here now is linked. I've set it up as keys. I selected the icon keys, but you can then amend the title afterwards. So you could have Ellis's keys, Ewan's keys, Sharon's keys, and so on. And then what it does is, whenever you can't find anything, you just hold up the thing that you've got, the one on the screen, and then you push the siren button. And it makes a noise.
Wow, that's much louder than my little white things over here that are dying.
The tile.
But you can also
tile, yes.
You can also use your own MP3s, and it plays it. It's not horrifically loud, I have to say.
It sounds like, that was the thing that sounded, I wrote in the chat, it sounds like a old flash charging up.
Yeah.
Oh
my gosh.
Oh, funny. yeah, before you poof, yeah. So there you go. They're not horrifically priced. I mean, I complain bitterly because I was supposed to get these in February, and it's now August, September, and I got them. But actually, they work really well. I'm fine. The thing that's nice about them is it's a crowdsourced thing, so you can actually see who's signed up to TrackR. And let's say someone, you put this one under your bike. When you open it up, each packet in it has got a key ring, split ring, and it's also got a sticky pad. So you can put the sticky pad on one side of this thing and stick it on the underside of your bike seat or something like that, where no one's going to find it. Let's say someone steals your bike and they cycle away, and you're like, well, okay, that's not going to help me, because unless I'm within 100 meters, it doesn't show up on my phone on the map. But if someone has got the application on their phone and it's running in the background, it will trigger this, and this will then send its location back to the TrackR servers, which will say, oh, your bike was last seen at, and it'll give you the reference point where the bike was last seen. There you go.
Oh.
that's cool. I have my tiles on my bike, and everybody goes, well, what if they try to take the tile off your bike? I stuck it on with 3M VBS double-sided tape, and if you don't know what that is, go on YouTube and do a couple quick search on 3M VBS double-sided tape. You could tow a car with that tape. Whatever you stick with that tape, it ain't coming off. So you end up breaking the thing before that. And yeah, I actually have mine well hidden in my bike. And it's pretty awesome. So I want to get those. I think it's smaller. It looks better. The tile is very ugly.
It's the size of a quarter in the US. Yeah. It's the size of a 10 pence piece here in the UK. It's got my phone number printed on the back. I got that as a perk for signing up so early. So anyone finds it, they can ring me back. And I gave him a bit of stick over this, and I've looked at it and thought, well, you can't zoom in on the map and all that to get more accuracy and that kind of thing. Well, in the end, I paid £6 for this.
What is the material?
They're more expensive now.
It's aluminium and carbon.
Cool.
I book Guri in the chat, ask whether you can make the kids swallow the tracker so you can find them.
Social services says no.
I would stick that in my kids' pocket when they're not paying attention. They're never going to find it. That'd be hilarious.
I've got it on. Ellis has got a set of house keys now because he's grown up enough. And we've given it on. I've put one of these on it. I said, look, you ever lose your keys, you're in more shit than you're ever going to know about. But I've got this on it now, so I can do it. What would be really cool is if it would link with open Wi-Fi and send its signal back anytime it got near something that had an open channel. But I gave him a lot of stick, and it's not horrifically featured, but it is kind of cool for $10, you know.
And the cool, you're right, but they're not $10 anymore.
Yeah, they're not $10 anymore.
They're it at $30 price. Four is $80.
Four is $80.
I'm sorry, four is $89. Four is $90.
Yep.
Oh, they so
that,
that 10
pack is $149.99. So at that point, they're $14 a piece. But you can just walk into a Target or a Best Buy or a Fry's if you're in the U.S. and just pick them up. And I think I'm going to get these.
Well, no, be careful, because there is a Track R and there's a Track R Bravo, and the Bravo is the new one. There is an original Track
I'm on
R.
I'm on their website. You think they sell the old ones on their website?
I doubt it, but there is a Track R and a Track R Bravo. They've done these before. And that's one of the things about Kickstarter. You know, they're an established company, and they've used Indiegogo to buy some of it, but there you go.
Yeah, I found it. It has Track R Bravo. This is cool, man. I really like this. And I can laser
it. It's all right. Well, you can pay for the laser etching on it, but yeah, if you can do it yourself, even better.
They got a wallet size one. Stop it. Get me off of this site.
What? Right. Wallet size?
Yes. Get me off of this site. I'm out of here.
Where can we get a hold of you, money, Doc? Patrice?
Where you can find me? At @casual_kitchen on Twitter, brandymore.net or thepatrice.net.com for my random writing. Also on Deconstruct, deconstruct.tv, and on the Tech Hangout. TheTechHangout.com.
Excellent, mate. Where are you, Adam?
You can find me over at Maccast at Maccast.com, Maccast on Twitter, and pretty much every place else on social media, and occasionally with the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Cool, mate. Doc, where are you, sir?
You can find me normally a couple times a week on the British Tech Network right here, and also on the Twitters and all the other stuff at Doc Rock.
Cool. David, where are you, sir?
You can find me at David Kalo on Twitter and writing away at appleworld.today.
Excellent, mate. Glad it's going well for you guys over there. You can get Mike at Mike T. Rose on Twitter as well. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. I am back in the seat for a while, anyway, because summer's over. Max Show will be back next week on Friday at 3 p.m. and Big Show's on Thursdays at 8 p.m. as normal. See you all next week. Thanks for listening.